Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason, can you hear me? All right, how you doing? This is hello.
Hello, I can hear you.
Okay, so Jason, Mike here from Huff and Meser. We had a discussion yesterday, and we're scheduled for a meeting today. How you doing?
Doing well.
All right, perfect. So good timing. I mean, are we good to speak?
Yeah, this is the scheduled time.
All right, perfect. So, Jason, we had a brief discussion yesterday, and I wanted to make sure we had the NDA in place just to, maintain the confidentiality of your idea and, your business process as well. So I think we're in a better position today to discuss it, and I've done some homework myself as well. I'm looking at your website too. I did some research as well. So where do we begin? I mean, do you have some information for me after what we discussed yesterday?
I mean, I do. There's quite a bit to cover, I guess. So just maybe walk me through what your process is, or what questions you have for me, or what information you need from me, to get to the next step here.
All right, yeah, let me try let me try and take the lead here. So I one thing that I really wanted to understand is the role that you like for an app developer, be that us or whoever. I as far as I understand this, you have a turnkey solution that's already built for the iOS, right? And you could correct me whenever I stray from my direction. So you have a turnkey solution that's already built for the iOS, right? You have the back end buckets, like you mentioned, you set up for AWS, S3, and everything. And the business process itself, that's already in operations, right? So we're not starting from scratch, or you guys are already in business and you just want to replicate that same model, or you want to leverage that same model towards building an Android application, as we discussed yesterday. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's very similar to what we're doing with iPhone. We want to do with Android. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right. So, can we access the iOS application now? I mean, can you give me the link, or can you give me the name to it so I can look at it while we're speaking?
So it's not a publicly available application. So nothing we do, this is very different than just creating an app and publishing it to the App Store. Right, this is, or the Google Play Store. This is not sort of that kind of application. So there's no
All right.
link that I can give you a link to our website, which there's a client login link on that, but you can't log in because you don't have a client login to see the actual, login page.
Okay, well, that kind of answers the second question I had for you as well. So we're not publishing the Android application as well whenever that's completed to the app stores. I mean, that's going to be an APK probably that would be available for specific users that can use the kind of program you offer, because I understand that it's not just for the general public, and would be used by probably would probably be better used in the legal industry and a specific target audience, more like a niche target audience that you have for this particular product, right?
Yeah, now I'm not saying that we can't or won't publish it to the Google Play Store. We've encountered some challenges doing that just due to the nature of the app and how it works. Google's not real excited to put it in the Play Store. Not that anybody could use it or do anything with it until they had a subscription, with our service to actually use it, but we would definitely be open to putting it in the Google Play Store if that's something that you guys would
And I think you
be
mentioned
able to help us
yesterday,
with.
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but you mentioned yesterday that you are already in discussion with Google to kind of iron that out with them and make sure the application can go live, if that's possible, on the app stores, right?
Yeah, we've had conversations with them previously because we do have a version of this app that we worked to create, which is basically a proof of concept or an MVP that it doesn't work, but it's enough to show that it proved out the concept, right? That it can work. We just need to invest in the time and the development to make it work. But so we do have an app, an APK right now. It's not published in the Google Play Store. but we've been able to use it to proof out the concept. So is there a way that we can get on a screen sharing? Because I can think I can explain this a lot better if I can share your screen and show you kind of what's going on instead of just talking about it. I think if you saw it visually, it might make more sense.
Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, let me set up a Zoom meeting right now, and I'll send the link. I'll shoot the link over to you on the email. And so you want to do it right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So I'll just do it real quick. Just give me one moment.
No worries. I'm just getting over COVID here, so if I sound a little stuffy and congested or cough a lot, that's why.
Oh well, I'm so sorry to hear that. So are you in isolation, or are you back to work?
I'm sitting in my house working, so both.
Okay, I see. All right, so now you're good. So I'll try and make this quick.
That's the worst. I dodged COVID for 2.5 years or whatever it's been, and then 2 weeks ago I got it. So stupid.
So you got the vaccination done? I mean, I hope you don't mind.
Yeah,
me.
I was vaccinated and everything, but I still got the stupid thing. So whatever.
Oh well, okay.
We're all gonna get it eventually, anyways. I'm sure. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the new normal. I mean, everyone has to get used to it and just pray that you fall prey to it. So that's where we're standing at.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully it's like I'm good now for a year, you know, if I have to deal with it again, like with all the antibodies and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll be good now for a year. I don't know.
That probably sounds like the only solution to it. I mean, you probably could go without it for say 6 months, a year, so until the antibodies, like you mentioned, last in your body. But otherwise, the vaccination and everything, I mean, I'm not one of the people who would not endorse them or something. I mean, I don't have an opinion on it, but, you know, it just feels like the best way to go about it is the natural way. That is where your body builds the antibodies and, you know, you can survive it. And
Well, I've got both now. I got the vaccine and I got the natural antibody, so I should be double covered, I think.
All right, it's almost there. And so I did read up a bit on your team as well, and it looks like it's a pretty heavy-duty team you guys have got to, you know, kind of have the software in place, and requires a lot of, you know, expertise in the forensics, digital forensics, you know, domain, and with even with litigation as well.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. There's definitely a lot of experience between the partners, and a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that probably is my biggest, question or concern today. I want to understand what the role of the app developer is going to be, what kind of expertise you guys will be looking at, because we're pretty much full stack. I mean, you talk about AWS, S3, you talk about encryption methods, be that the DES or the AES, we're pretty familiar with those. So, but then again, it comes down to what kind of collaboration are we looking at. So that said, I have the link ready. I'm about to shoot that over to your email. And I think it's best that we look at something so we can discuss it better.
Yeah, for sure.
So I shoot that to the same email we have on the file, jason.yourlastname, I'm not too sure how you pronounce it, @mode1.io.
Correct.
How do you pronounce your last name, by the way? Pervyons?
Pervyan.
Pervyons.
Pervyan.
Okay. All right. I'll just subject this Zoom link and. All right, so it's on the way. You should be getting it.
Still waiting for the email here.
All right, let's wait for a couple more minutes. I think it should be coming in. I think you found it, right?
I have not received it yet.
Okay, well, I got a mail track notification saying you saw the email, so but that probably could be an error, so I think I'll try some other way.
I did see an email from you that came. I just clicked on it the other day from the signing of the NDA, the Panda Doc. That's why it
Oh,
was
okay. All
open.
right. So that's the email. Okay. So that's the email that I got the notification for. So I think All right. In fact, I could just send this. I could send the meeting ID and the link to you on your text messages if that works. I mean, are you on your phone right now or are you on your laptop?
Well, I would want to share the content from my laptop, so I would need the link on my laptop, not on my phone. But I can manually type it in, I guess.
Right, yeah, so I'll give you
If
the
you
meeting
just.
ID. Yeah, I'll give you the meeting ID and I'll give you the passcode as well. So you could just enter the meeting using the two things, and that should work. I don't think you need the link to, the long link to it, because if you have the Zoom software installed, then you just click on join and I'll give you the meeting ID.
Yeah, give me just a second here to open it. All right, what's the ID?
So the ID is 979-4863
4863.
6571. And I'd have to spell the passcode out to you as well. So
Okay.
let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, so it's going to be E as in Echo, 2 as in the number 2, C as in Charlie. That's all lowercase, right? And then H, capital H, and then a lowercase G as in golf, S as in Sam, and that's it.
All right, I'm in the meeting here.
Okay.
So
All right.
let me just share my screen here so you can see kind of
Yeah, I think
what
I'll
we
have to give you
have.
the access to it. I mean, you would, so you're able to share your screen. Are you able to do it yourself?
No, it says host disabled participant screen sharing.
Right. I'll just hand over the access to you. In fact, I'll just make you the host here. So you go ahead and share your screen. All right, done.
Okay, so.
All right, I'm looking at it.
So let me start with showing you this document first here, because I think this will kind of give you, this will give you an idea of what we have now. So right now we have an APK, right? So when someone installs the APK, we just send them a link to, right now it's sitting on a Google Drive. So when they click on the APK, it obviously prompts them to install unknown apps, and so we just say yes, you know, they have to say yes, allow to install this app from, you know, this unknown location, whatever.
Yeah.
So it downloads and installs, you know, this application, blah, blah, blah. And so then what we do is we need to create a handshake between the application on the person's phone and our web application. So right now the way the process works is our web application generates a 6-digit code that then you type in on the Android phone that matches, and that makes a handshake between the device, the physical device, and our web app. Okay.
Okay. Is that a token, or is that like a unique key every time you try and log in, or is that like a subscription key for when you're licensed to use the software? You have a key that you use as a unique user. I mean, does that
so
change
changes,
your or it, does that change? I mean, does that stay the same for each user?
It changes all the time. It's unique every single time you want to collect a device.
Perfect. Okay, that's a token. Okay.
Yeah. So this is our web app that I just logged into here. Let's see if I can find some demo data here to show you. So we have cases. So we create a new case, right? So this is from a legal perspective. You've got a case and you've got devices. So these are all devices that we've been, that have collected. These are all just test devices. So here's like a test Android. And I'll just kind of show you the end result, which is when a device gets collected, we then parse the messages, the contacts, the calls, all on the device. Let me see if I can find one here. I think there's one contact in this one.
All right.
These have all been wiped, I think.
So Jason, this core solution that we're looking at, does that work perfectly fine, or is there some kind of a debugging required with this proprietary software that you have as built?
I'm not sure the question.
Okay, I think this is the solution that you guys have, right? So this link is like more like your dashboard for everything that you collect from the Android APK whenever that's installed on a person's phone, right? So this data coming in and this whole process, that's proprietary in nature to your company, right?
Yeah, so let me take another step back here. I think I'm confusing you here. So there's multiple steps to the process here. So the first step is installing an APK on an Android phone. Once the app is installed, we do the handshake, which is just this basic little token here, right? So we do a handshake. Then within our web app, we create a new device upload. So in this case, it's Android, right? You type in who's the, in this case, the custodian is always whoever's phone it is. Here's the subscription token ID, which they type in on the phone. Once they do the handshake, the end user on the actual Android phone selects which data sources do they want to allow Mode 1 to have access to. So calls, contacts, messages. WhatsApp's not necessarily something we're doing right now. Way more complicated, but then the Android OS prompts the user to confirm, do you want to allow access to these three containers, correct? Yes. Okay.
Right.
So once they do that, then the application on the APK starts to send these containers to our S3 bucket, just the raw data as is, right? We're not manipulating any data, we're not changing anything, we're not doing anything except for just basically copying and pasting what's sitting in like the SMS database, URI for calls, contacts, et cetera, being pushed up to S3. Once it's in S3, that's it. the job of the Android app is done. There's nothing else the Android app needs to do. Our proprietary processing process will take that data and normalize the data and put it into a view like this in our database that allows people to open up these text messages and look at them just like they were on the phone.
Okay, that's nice.
And so this is fully searchable. So from an attorney, a legal perspective, an attorney is able to come in here and look at the conversations because they probably follow the same colors, just like on this is an iPhone, but it's the same exact thing.
Right.
We follow the same color concepts. Everybody knows what the blue and the gray and the things look like, who sent it, what time and date, all that kind of stuff. It's all being done, you know, right here in the conversation. Fully searchable. You can do all kinds of exports and export to PDF. Right. So that's kind of the end result. This is my realtor. But the end result is uh-huh. getting all this information. And so for iOS, we can actually get WhatsApp conversations as well. So we can get access to all those conversations right here. Same thing. We also get calls. So this is, outgoing calls or incoming calls, outgoing calls, missed calls, whatever. How long was the call? When was the call? And then we also get contacts from the device, which shows you every single contact that's, you know, on the phone. And then we export that data. So from the iOS perspective, all of this works and is done. It's like you kind of talked about at the very beginning, our next step is we need to expand this to the Android side. And so we have this app. So this app that you're seeing in these screenshots here is a fully, you know, it's an app that proofed out the thing. We can get access to these containers except for WhatsApp. It is possible to do this. And so now we're just looking for a developer to take our proof of concept, take our MVP, and push it to the next level.
All right. That makes sense. So the next level, now let's talk about that, right? So that's where we come in, or that's where the developers come in. So the developers are going to, these app screens that you showed to me, you don't have, you have an APK that's running, and you said the proof of concept is there, so it should be working just fine. Now, what does the developer do here? I mean, what's the developer's main job here? What do you want the developer to do in this case?
So I'm a little concerned you're saying developer as in one, because this is going to have to be a team most likely to do this, because the complexity. So the reason why I say it's not a fully functioning app yet and it's just a proof of concept is because Android is complex in terms of every device manufacturer, like a Samsung or an LG, are the two big ones, right? They do things a little bit differently. And so the Mode 1 APK has to be able to identify, okay, what is this phone? Who's the manufacturer of this phone? Okay, it's a Samsung. Okay, it's a Galaxy Note 6. Okay, based on everything we know about a Galaxy Note 6, here are the locations for storing message data, contact data, call data, you know, all that kind of information. And then once it identifies that, then it can go ahead and start to parse that and copy those tables. And so then Samsung and LG both have this concept of RCS, Rich Communication Services, which allows a more of an iMessage type texting conversation, right? It's not SMS, it's more of an iMessage type thing. So we have to check and see, is RCS on this device turned on, right? And so that's just a setting you can look at. If it's on, you know, the app can determine this. If RCS is on, then we have to include these other data sources and these tables, right, to be able to pull all the RCS text messages out of the phone. If RCS is off, then we know the focus is just on the default SMS table.
Right.
That's the logic that the development team would need to do. And the reason why I'm talking to companies like you is because I'm assuming that you've got developers that are Android developers that understand the Android ecosystem in and out, but you'll have people that have specific knowledge on Samsung, specific knowledge on LG, and understanding the little nuances and differences between the different device manufacturers, because the APK has to have the logic to determine all the different types of Android phones that are out there, so we can determine, you know, basically go and run a query and say, okay, show me all the URIs that exist on this device. These are all the data containers. And then based on what we're looking for, what do we need? And then it transmits that data to our cloud. And so this one I'm showing here is just another, another way to look at it. So here's the phone, right? There's a six-digit PIN, handshake, end user selects which data type, blah, blah, blah. Once they select that, the data is transmitted, you know, to an S3 bucket that we have. We call this a staging S3 bucket.
Right.
This S3 bucket's encrypted, it's got versioning turned on, it's got backups turned on, and the way that the APK talks to the bucket is we know this bucket's not publicly accessible. There's an access key, right, for AWS that it uses to be able to write to the data. Once that data is validated to be a successful transfer, and how we validate that is by at the same time the phone is sending certain metrics to CloudWatch. And that's all happening today already. In our proof of concept, we've proved this out, and it all works from a conceptual standpoint. So.
Right.
So we use this to determine, you know, how much data, you know, so the phone identified there were 6,000 text messages, right, or whatever. That goes to CloudWatch. Once CloudWatch talks to S3 and validates that, oh, hey, all 6,000 text messages have been successfully transmitted, then that's our validation and close it. Once that's done, we then programmatically on the back end are moving that raw data that has been copied from the phone from that S3 bucket to our S3 bucket where we start to do our production. This is where our proprietary processes come into place. Again, this is outside your scope now, right? Once we really cross this point, what you guys are being hired to do is done. Because now the data gets moved over to our environment. We're parsing that data. We're extracting the metadata. We're storing metadata from the messages stuff in OpenSearch, and then we're using an Amazon RDS Postgres database to store device information, you know, metrics, things like that. And that's where we display this in the web UI, which is this, what I showed you earlier.
Perfect. Okay, so that makes sense. So now this APK that's built, that's already sitting there, what is the default phone and what is the default OS, more importantly, that the APK is currently built for?
I believe it's built for a very specific Samsung device that has RCS disabled and has, you know, like 10 text messages and some contacts and some call history. Like we haven't expanded it above that because that was just a proof of concept, right? So if you were to throw 1,000 text messages at it right now, it would just crash and break and they just wouldn't work.
Got it. Okay. I think Jason, that all that makes sense. And, it doesn't seem like a lot of problem to me because I think the major skill or the major kind of expertise you're looking for, just like you mentioned, is for an Android development team that can handle multiple different kinds of makes of the Android devices and the OS versions as well. So I think that's one thing that we are, that kind of is our forte as well because, most Android applications have to be cross-compatible for all the different kinds of, makes, models, and then for the OS systems as well. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, then I don't see any kind of a bottleneck with completing this, and I'll still discuss this with the team here. But otherwise, I think it's pretty much self-explanatory now, and, I can take this forward to my team here.
Yeah, so again, I mean, it's an app, an APK, installed on an Android phone that has the logic to determine where contacts, calls, photos, SMS, and RCS sit. Once it finds them, it needs to do a basic calculation on how many contacts are there. So if there's 400 contacts, we want to know that because that's how we validate the transfer was successful, right? Oh, the app found 400 contacts. It transmitted 400 contacts to S3. Checked the box. It was done, right? Same with calls, photos, text messages, etc. And then once that transmission is done and validated, that's it. It's done. All the hard work now in terms of like the processing and parsing that data and looking at the different threads and the conversation histories, that's all the stuff we do back here. None of that's done on the phone. All that's done back here. This is kind of our secret sauce in terms of what we do. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that makes sense. And. And now coming to the deployment, you've already figured that the deployment is not an easy process, and deployment probably is not your biggest concern here as well, or let's say not the most preliminary thing you want to get done as well. For a development team to work with you, is it absolutely important that they take the responsibility for deployment to the App Store as well, because in how we work, or how the general process works with most applications, like you mentioned, where you build an application, you get it live and deploy it on the app stores, you get them through the test flight procedure on the iOS and the Google Play console on the Android. All that we do, and the most important thing is we kind of guarantee that the application will go live. And in general, in most cases, that the application will go live on the two app stores or whatever app store we are responsible for. In this case, I think it's that's where the unusual part comes in. And is it like absolutely important for your next app development team that works for you on Android to take this, give you that surety that they will be able to get this application live on the app stores?
I would definitely include that if you think that's something that's realistic, because we would love to get this published to the App Store. And so there's some interesting categories. You probably know better than I do, publishing an app in the Google Play Store specifically. They want to brand the app as like a mobile device management app, like an MDM app or something, to have this kind of access to it, right? To put it in the official store. So
Right.
we that's our end goal. We want that, but it's not like the end of the world deal breaker for us, right? Because we know we can just host the link. We can put the APK on a protected S3 bucket or on a Google Drive and send the link out to our clients, and they can download and install it that way. But for optics, it looks better to have it certified on the Google Play Store. So that's definitely something we want to do. So if you want to include that in the scope, yes, please do.
Right, so I think the better way to go about it, about this portion specifically in terms of the scope of work, is that, we, of course, would not be able to say with 100% surety. I mean, I could say that right now, but, it doesn't make sense because you already know that there are some, Google side restrictions on getting this application live, right? So we cannot, just like, unlike in most cases, how we give you the surety, or we give the surety that we will take care of any reviews that are received from the app stores, and we fix them, and we make sure that the application goes live, and that's when we close the project, or that's when we open the post-deployment retainer. We go to the next step. In this case, I think the best way to go about this portion of the app, or getting it deployed in the app store, is that we could assign the resources, the team that works with you on the app itself, and our top resources for the Android development and deployment, we could assign them to you for a monthly retainer, or let's say for a time-based kind of a commitment, whereby they'll stick by you for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months if you need an outside help to get this live. But they wouldn't be able to, say with 100% surety that the application can go live, and that's just for the reasons that the application. There may be Google side, restrictions, which we of course cannot encounter by, debugging the application or fixing the application, or things that are in, our control, things that are not external, to our process. I mean,
Yeah,
does that sound
I
fair to
think if
Pat?
we, yeah, I don't fully understand all that, but I think what we would want to do is make it, the goal to get it in the store, knowing that you can't guarantee it, that's fine, but to at least work with you and work with Google to figure out what changes need to happen to the app, what, category it needs to be put under, whatever we need to do to try to get it there, to maybe help have you help us navigate that, knowing that it might not be a guaranteed thing, but at least we'll be able to pursue that together.
Right, yes. I mean, when you talk about a fixed, let's say a fixed scope project, I mean, we have to say that, we will be able to do this, or we will, refund your remuneration, or whatever, the backtracking is. But in this case, I think, at least for the portion where we have to deploy the application, or we have to assist you with the deployment, or you need resources from our company to have that happen, or to pursue this, we can assign the resources to you on a time, a time-bound basis, whereby, let's say, for 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever help you need from our side, but we cannot say that, as part of the contract, we will do this, and this is our responsibility. And you know, because otherwise, if we are not able to do this, then that kind of makes the contract null and void as well. So that's just a,
Yeah,
you
that
know,
makes total sense. Yep, no, I agree.
right?
That's fine. Yeah,
So
no, I'm fine with that.
just going to add that it's not a deal breaker. You know, I'm just trying to say that, you know, that probably would be the best way to go about this portion of the app development, because I want to make sure, you know, whatever we put down in the contract and whatever we commit to, we're also able to do it, and we know that, you know, it's doable before we commit to something, right?
Yep, totally agree. Yep, no, we're on the same page.
All right, perfect, Jason. So I think I'm pretty much clear on what you are looking for. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with me before and I'd also like to ask you, I mean, these screens that you're looking at, or wireframes, or whatever you have currently sitting with you, what part of it can you share with me so I can discuss this with the internal team? Because to be honest with you, I'm not a developer myself, right? And my domain is product strategy, right? So I'll of course take this to the development team, and if they have any questions, I'll get back to you. So what part of it are you able to share with me so I can discuss it with the team here?
So I can share this right here. I'll share this with you. I also have a Word document right here that summarizes basically our conversation in terms of the requirements of this project, right? So this project focuses on development of an Android APK, which can be installed on Android devices for the purpose of e-discovery projects. The app must be able to, and then the same things we just talked about, right? Identify the make, model, system profiles, URI paths of on the phone. Use that determination to make logic decisions for what containers are collected. Sorry. Provide a list of all available fields in each data type below. We want to receive all applicable fields, everything. You know, copy the local SMS database on Android to a cloud location, which is S3. Copy the RCS database contents to a cloud location if it exists. Our priority is Samsung and LG phones, knowing that we'll continue to expand the devices, you know, over time, but our priority are those two in that order. Copy the contacts database, you know, to the cloud location. Copy the phone log, you know, call history to that location. And WhatsApp, we know, is a very secure, tough nut to crack, and so this is not something to spend any time on right now, but we're just putting in here as kind of a future thing. Transmit logging metrics that we talked about to CloudWatch. Excuse me. These metrics will include start, you know, when the application was start and stopped, which containers the user selected, you know, because sometimes the user will accidentally not check the contacts box or whatever the case may be. So we want to have validation of what they selected, you know, how many threads, how many contacts, you know, contact count, et cetera, things like that.
Right.
Handshakes with the existing framework. The data
Now,
must be
what does that
encrypted in
mean?
transit.
I'm sorry, this one that says the app must handshake with the existing framework. So, are we talking about the you know the code, the 6-digit code that we entered on the application? Is that what this talks about?
That's it. Yeah, this we call this the framework. This web UI is the framework, and so everything that happens, you know, obviously has to come back here. So whether it's, because this is where. So if I were to create a new device here, like a new Android, so I can do JSON test, 0000, my email address,
Right.
right? JSON test. And you'll see here, it generated this token. So if I were to go and install the APK on my phone right now, I would then type this number in, and it would save and connect it, and then now my Android device would be connected with this device I just created in our framework, and that's how we know that it's the same device. And then we pass everything, you know, across from there.
Okay, so this subscription token is saved in one of your databases, and that's where it validates the token from, right? And so when someone enters it on the application, it hits your database and it cross verifies it, and that's how the device is validated to use the application, correct?
That's exactly right. And now one thing that we couldn't consider, and we're very open to this, is to reverse that process, right? So right now our framework, the website, creates the token, and then you have to type the token in on the Android device. The other way to do it, which we would actually prefer to do, and have the Android device generate the token and send that to, you know, the database, and then have the person on the website type in the PIN number to do the handshake. So basically just reversing that process, if that makes sense.
Right, that does. But that kind of brings me to my next question as well. So, in all this process, how do you validate or how do you find if someone is eligible to use the application itself? I mean, let's say you mentioned that the application cannot be used by everyone, and then, on the other hand, this would be, of course, be a paid service as well. So, how do you make sure that the person is paying and the person is eligible or validated to use the application? If they find the APK somewhere, I mean, if they have the APK, how do you make sure that they have paid for the service, they are eligible to use it? Is there a validation check for that as well?
Yeah, so there's nothing they can do with the APK except for installing it on their phone. But because they don't have access to this web interface right here, which is what we call the framework, they have nothing they can do with it. So in order to get access to this framework, you have to be invited to this. You have to have a user account in our environment. And the only way you get a user account in our environment is by having a signed contract or a subscription with us.
Right, okay. All right, that makes sense. Perfect.
Yeah,
So
it's like no. I mean, think of it as like Bank of America, right? So if you download the Bank of America application on your iPhone or your Android, who cares, right? There's really nothing you can do with that application unless you can sign in with username and password that validates you have an account with Bank of America, so they show you your bank account information, right? It's just an app at that point; it doesn't do anything.
right, could you just go back to
Yeah.
this you're looking at on the Android screens where you just showed me, like, the ones on the Google Drive link, I guess.
This one here.
Yeah, there you go. So could you just scroll? Yeah. So that's where you create the new device right there, and anyone who has the APK could enter. If we reverse the process and the subscription token is generated from the application itself. And so anyone could generate the token, they could enter a device, they could set up a new device, and they could pull the data to your S3. Now, I do understand that they would not have access to the dashboard, but they could do as many device pulls. We'll call them device pulls for now. So they could do as many device pulls, for that matter, as they want, because at the end of the day, you're not validating who's using the application or whether they should be
Nope,
using the application.
that's not true. That's not true. And the reason why is because they can't do a device pull unless they have a six-digit PIN number, which is given to them on the web. So if we reverse the process, the APK will create a six-digit code, right? That's it. There's nothing else they can do with it because the only way a device will upload is if either the PIN number is typed in on the APK side or the PIN number is typed in on the web UI on this side here.
Okay, so
With
the app would not move forward if you don't validate that PIN number from the web application. And I'm talking about the reverse procedure. So the app is not going to go to the next screen, or it's not going to show you the next interface until you cross verify the six-digit number that has to be entered in the reverse process on the web application, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the process will stop unless they have completed that handshake process. So there'll be nothing else for them to do. There'll be no data will be transferred, nothing until they complete the handshake. So if we reverse the process, that just means that someone on the website side has to type in the six-digit PIN to validate that collection, which is how we want it, because the people that use this web interface are typically a forensics analysis person, one of our technicians, is an expert in this tool, and so they'll be on the phone with the if your phone is being collected, they'll be on the phone with you. They'll walk you through installing the app. They'll send you this user guide, right, that walks them through how to do it. And then so there's a handshake that has to happen before any data is ever transmitted. So to your point, no one will just be collecting and sending us data, without that validation step in place.
All right, that all makes sense. So, all right, I'm just trying to think through it just to make sure if I have any questions for my team. I just pull them up. I think we're running out of time on the Zoom meeting as well. But anyway, two last questions. I think the most generic questions. Any kind of timeline we are working with, and any kind of budget constraint we are looking at in terms of building this application.
Our timeline would be like something in the next 30 to 60 days. We'd like to have something very quickly, depending on availability, of course, of what you guys have out there. And then we do have a budget for it. It just, you know, I know rates depend on onshore, offshore developers. I know it depends on senior versus junior. So we have a budget, a very reasonable budget in my mind in terms of what we can spend on this. I'm hesitant just to give you that number because in my experience, I give you that number, that's what it costs, right?
All right, yeah. No, you're right. So we wouldn't go there. So I'll try and bring a number myself, and then I'll check with you. But just to give you an idea, and before I give you an idea, let me confirm this. So we discussed that the application is going to be for at least for the LG Make phones and the Samsung phones, right? So do we
Samsung first, LG second? Yep.
Samsung first and LG second. Okay. And will we pin down the models that you need the application 100% working for, because you know they're major models that you need to build the application for, and the minor ones, the only downside with that is, you know, some of these models that you don't cover, the application may not 100% work well, or let's say it will complete the core loop cycle on most devices, right? But it may be a little cut off from somewhere, or you know the UI may not be the most crisp or compatible with all the different models that are not covered. So do you have a list of models that you want to cover within, you know, the Samsung and the LG ranges?
I can talk to our team and see which device types, you know, which specific models are most common for us. I mean, if you think about it, we're working with law firms that are, you know, going through some sort of e-discovery process or litigation, right? So What our statistics tell us is that Samsungs are the number one North American-based Android device, followed by LG. That's just what we know. Like, it's different in other parts of the world, right? There's different brands for Android all over the world. And so we want to start with the largest population of devices. So Samsung being that manufacturer. Now, if you need me to dial that down a little more detailed, then, you know, like Galaxy Note 6, Galaxy Note 5, or if there's a certain flavor of Android OS you want us to focus on, but I can provide a little more detail there. But I think the last several iterations of Samsung, the software is largely the same. So with RCS and SMS, now the screen resolutions can obviously change and be different and that kind of stuff. So it might produce some tearing on the app, and it may not look, you know, perfect and stuff. And that, where I'm less worried about making sure that the app looks flawlessly perfect. We're more focused on data integrity and the copying of the data, and that we're not changing any of the data that we find, that we're just basically, you know, doing an absolute just copy the container from point A to point B without changing or truncating any dates, times, you know, anything like that, because we need everything down to the second because of defensibility purposes for legality. You know, they want to make sure that we didn't change anything in the collection process. So the app just needs to simply do a copy and paste. So
right.
I can provide you more details on specific devices, but yeah, in general, Samsung devices, LG devices, and we can work more details from there.
Because I think you would understand this, you know, the development or everything that's related to the feature sets and the development of it, that is related to the OS that you make the app compatible for, right? The operating system. Available on Android, and that we could cover probably, you know, the ones that are still in use, or let's say the last four versions or whatever the team recommends, and I'll let you know on that. But as far as you know, the device sizes and the, you know, the different models are concerned, the only thing that changes is the UI and, you know, the different screen sizes that you, like you mentioned, is not the most important thing and not the priority, as long as the core loop cycle or what the application is supposed to do, that's functioning on all the different, you know, Android OS available, right? Because
yep.
Even the location of the messaging and, you know, the contacts and everything, like you mentioned, I think that's the most important piece here, and that boils down to the OS that's running on that particular phone, regardless of what model or even sometimes what make it is, right? So what we'll do is we'll have a list of, OS versions that we will definitely cover, and then we could have a broad list of different model types as well that we will make the UI and everything crisp for. So that could be put down as in the scope document as well.
Perfect. Yeah, that's total sense. I'm good with that. Again, the functionality is the most important part, making sure that we're capturing, the metrics, we're capturing the containers, SMS context calls. That's the most important part, consistently capturing everything, including attachments, right? So photos, videos, anything that's embedded in a text message also has to be brought over, right? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly. So what I'll do from here, Jason, is, like I mentioned, I'll have to take this forward internally and discuss it with the team and, get back with some fine-tuned details and what versions and everything we're working with. Now, what I'll do is, you have a scope ready with yourself, so I wouldn't try and meddle with that. So if you can send that over to me, I mean, the text document that you showed to me, if you could send that over. What I'll do is, I'll just cross-check with the team here, and I'll just make sure everything is doable. But otherwise, we'll word it exactly the way you have worded it, and that's going to help us, streamline the scope process as well. So I'm not going to prepare a scope. I'm not going to try and, build the verbiage myself. I'll just validate it with the team. If we have any comments to add, we'll add there, and I'll let you know, and I'll show it to you in the next meeting, and we could go from there.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, I'll get this. I'll send this over to you. I'll PDF this and send it over to you. Then you can copy and paste into, whatever your template or format is or whatever. And we'll go from there. And so so we know conceptually, because we've done it, that this is definitely a technically feasible thing to do. It's just a matter of, I think, finding someone who really understands, like our conversation, I'm starting to feel that you understand more about what we're trying to do and the litigation process behind this. So the more we can get the developers to understand really what we're doing, right, and the purpose of it, we're not trying to manipulate data. We're trying to literally just copy it from the phone to the cloud location. So.
Right, and that probably was one of my biggest concerns there as well, because we, of course, are not, the most I wouldn't want to claim that we are very experienced with forensics and stuff like that. So these were some things that I had to confirm with you, and I think the application itself is pretty much something that isn't apart from the forensics and that it the application itself and the process that you explained to me, that is something that any good app development team should be able to do it for you. And because, like I said, my biggest concern when I got on the call with you, and even yesterday as well, when I was thinking through this, is whether you need any kind of help with your area of expertise as far as app development is concerned. So I think that isn't there.
Nope.
So, yeah.
No, we have a developer. We have in-house developers for the back-end processing side of it. So when I talked about our secret sauce, where we do all the metadata extraction, normalization, and parsing of the data, we have a team that focuses on that, and they're forensic people, and that's what they do. So that's covered. So we're good there. All we need you
Actually,
to do is write the
good that you
app.
mentioned that, yeah. So they will be working
Yep.
with us, right? I mean, they're going to be on the collaboration. They will be available if we need some kind of help with linking it to the back end and everything. They will be on the project, right?
Yep, and so we have some AWS engineers that can help with that, creating the S3 bucket and creating, access tokens and access keys and that kind of stuff. But if you guys have, I know you guys are full stack, so I know you have AWS people as well. So we might want to get, that's why I mentioned team earlier, because there is a big Android component to this, right? But then there's also your Android developers may want to talk to your AWS developers and say, okay, what's the best way to transmit this stuff to S3? What's the best way to transmit these metrics to CloudWatch, right? And
Right,
then
yeah,
we can
all that's
work with
covered.
you. Yep.
Yeah, one good example of what I was saying is, for example, we set up a REST API for the tokens to be validated from your system. Now, that token's endpoint has to be entered in your dashboard or your database, right? So we wouldn't want to take access of that. We will, if we, as long as we have your developer available for some of these minor tasks, we rather would, hand the, let's say, the endpoint to them, so they could enter the endpoint in their database, and that way we wouldn't have to access some of your proprietary software and information. So just for your to make sure we don't have to take more access than we need, right?
Yep, that's perfect. Yep. We're a small team too, so we can have, you know, in terms of like AWS access, IAM access, whatever we need to do, if we need to give someone access to any of that, we can do all that very quickly. Security is number one in our mind, so we require two-factor for any accounts that are, you know, accessing our AWS environment, things like that. So we'll cover all those details later, of course, but just so you know that we can be very flexible and react very quickly to any requests. Also considering security is top of mind for us. So.
Well, that is perfect. So I think we all said, I mean, it does look like something we can accomplish, and I think the next step from here is that we start some documentation so we have something in writing as well. And like I said, if you can send me the scope over, and along with anything else that you can share with me, especially the flowchart that you showed me for the process, if that I can share with the team as well. And I think I should be able to get back to you within the next, say, 48 hours with my side of the document. And you know, if I have something for you or more questions, I think the best time to recircle on that for me would be somewhere towards the end of this week, let's say Friday.
Let's plan on Friday, and that works for me.
Perfect, Jason. So I think let's take it from here, and thank you for your time. You know, you have my email. Just shoot the details and the scope over to me, and we'll stay in touch. All right?
Sounds perfect. Yeah, I'll send this over. I'll send you that kind of basic workflow as well as that Word document to you here just shortly within an hour or so, and you'll have that.
All right. Sounds good, sir. I'll let you go, and you enjoy the day, and we'll recircle soon on this. All right?
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You as well. Thank you. Bye now.